Lord, thank you that you are our cornerstone. We know that in any storm in our life, we can count on you. We are weak, but you are strong. So much that we can even boast in our weakness. It shows just how strong you are. God, we rely on you. Thank you, Lord. You can take your seats. Welcome to church in Toronto this morning. If we haven't met, my name is Nathan, and I'm your host this morning. If you're new with us today, we want you to feel at home. God loves you, and we're so glad to have you here. If you're not new, welcome home. If you came prepared to give today, there are a number of ways that you can do that. There's our giving box out in the main hallway. You can give online through our website, or you can text to give. If you're new, please do not feel any obligation to give whatsoever. We're just so glad to have you here. We have the City Youth Conference coming up in August. So that's, that's August 22nd through 25th. The youth leaders have actually made a short video for us to watch this morning.
I close my eyes and colors fly. There's no hiding from your grace. I can't deny your heart for mine, and it's unrelenting chase. I was on the edge of deception, caught up in my own hesitation, until your love took over me. So I
That's pretty awesome. These conferences are always amazing. God always works through them. It's totally worthwhile. So parents of youth, please do not book vacation for those days so that your kids can attend. We're also looking for families who are willing to host a group in their home, so they would need a place to sleep and a simple breakfast in the morning. If you're interested, please see our pastor Ian after the service, and he'll give you all the details. Every year around this time, our church corporation holds our annual general meeting. This year will be on June 10th at 7 p.m. in this room. If you're a member of the church corporation, you should have received an email over the past couple of weeks, and that has all of the details. If you're unable to attend, it's very important that you fill out a proxy form, and instructions for that can be found in the email that was sent out. If you applied for membership this year, you should have received an email last night for confirming. If you have any questions, please come talk to me after the service, and I'll point you to Steve, and he'll answer all of your questions, because I probably can't. With all that being said, we're continuing in our Messiah series in Matthew this morning, so I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor, Ian, to lead us into God's Word. Del. This is Del. Ian's at the back.
We're all about the same anyway, right, Ian? We're going to need that. I'm going to ask this morning Neil Shea, he's doing double duty, to read the verses for us. Thank you very much, Neil.
Good morning, church. My name is Neil, and I will be your verse reader this morning. This photo was taken with a couple of guys here from CIT last year when we went to that's Yosemite National Park down in California. Yeah, it was real memorable. So a bit about myself, I've been coming to CIT since I was 10 years old. So that's been around 14 years since I've called this church my home. So it's been a bit of a time here. But during that time, I've really had the opportunity to be able to serve on the worship team playing guitar. And it's just been so inspiring and encouraging seeing how God's been working, not just growing me, but, in the community around me and the people. And, over the past year, how he's really pushed his church and grown this church as well. And yeah. Super hopeful in the coming months and coming years, and how he's going to continue to grow. Today's Bible verse would be from Matthew chapter 9, 18 to 34. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the prince of demons." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Neil. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask this morning that you would speak to each heart here present. Yeah. Lord, have a word for each one of us. Lord, we know we need you and we need your speaking. We need your word to us to direct us, to lead us, to correct us when we go off base. So, Lord, do a work in each one of our hearts this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're in this series on Matthew, and as mentioned in the last 2 weeks, there's this three sets of three of these stories of Jesus doing miracles. And the first week, Nigel gave us three, and last week, Ian gave us another three, and we do another three this week. So the first set of three was focused on bringing outsiders in. So that has to do with a leper, a centurion who's a Gentile, and Peter's mother-in-law who was ill. Bringing them kind of back into the community, okay? The second set, which Ian covered last week, is emphasizing, who is Jesus? He's the one who has authority. He's got authority to calm the storm. He's got authority to heal a man with demons. And he has authority to heal the paralytic. This week, we have three more stories. Actually, they are doubles. Today, we have doubles. The first story is about a ruler and his dead daughter, together with a woman who has a hemorrhaging issue. The second case is of two men who are blind. And the third case could be considered possibly double in that you have a man who is mute, doesn't speak, but probably he's also deaf. Usually that goes together, right? You can't hear, you can't speak. So it doesn't say that he's deaf, but it does say that he's mute. He didn't speak. So we got these three sets of three. Today we're focusing on the last three, and we're going to especially focus on the first one of these three. Too much information means you have no information, so we're going to focus on one. This first case could also be considered a case of a special literary device called a sandwich. How about that? Didn't know there's such a thing as a literary device as being a sandwich. What do we mean by sandwich? Well, you know, a sandwich, it's not an open-faced sandwich. It's a sandwich with bread, something in the middle, and then more bread. That's a sandwich, right? Okay, so that's what we have here. We have a situation. A story begins. There's interruption with the stuff in between, and then the story concludes. For the first story concludes. Okay? So that's why we call this a kind of a sandwich literary device. And the thing is that these, even though there's kind of two incidences, they're interwoven into each other because the point is the same. One point. And what is the point of these cases here? In these, actually all three cases, the main point here is faith. What is required is faith. Faith is the emphasis of these last three cases. Okay, so let's begin to look at these two cases. But before we actually get into the cases, we've got these two contrasting people. We can kind of merge together this ruler and his daughter, and the other is this woman who has the problem with hemorrhaging, bleeding. Okay, so what is this man? Well, something else I need to mention here is this. Matthew gives us a very brief summary of these two cases together. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, gives us much more detail. And it seems that Matthew is saying, okay, you don't need all the details because I want to make a point. And kind of leaves off a lot of things. But on the other hand, it's kind of helpful to know what Mark had to say. Mark is usually considered to have written first. Matthew has written later. So I'm going to be bringing some things in from Mark because it helps the story. This ruler, Matthew just tells us he's a ruler. But Mark tells us a little bit more. He is a ruler of the synagogue. What does that mean? That means he's a ruler of the Jewish religious synagogue. He has status. He's important. He's got a position. He's got respect. Yet, in spite of all of these things, he still comes to Jesus, who maybe we think Jesus is great, but actually that day, Jesus probably, especially for a ruler of a synagogue, to come to Jesus was kind of out of the ordinary. What about this woman? The woman who has this issue. Oh, sorry, just one more thing about this guy, this ruler. He has a name in Mark. In Matthew, he doesn't have a name. But in Mark, he's got a name. His name is Jairus. Okay, concerning the woman now. The woman, Mark tells us that she spent all her money visiting doctor to doctor to doctor with no result. Anybody like that here? You have a health issue and it seems nobody can help you. Well, this woman spelled everything. So that means what? That means she's poor. No money left, number one. Number two, she doesn't have a name. Therefore, her social status is much lower than Jairus. Thirdly, her condition. Her condition is that she's got a chronic bleeding disorder. Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it was, but it's a disorder. Now, you may think, well, it's a problem. No, it's a big problem. Not only is it a health problem, according to the culture, especially Jewish tradition, anyone who bleeds is considered unclean. Unclean. And as a person who's unclean, you don't touch them, otherwise you become unclean. You don't sit where they sat, or you become unclean. They are rejected, isolated from community, on their own. You think about this woman now. She's poor. She's got a chronic health condition that makes her unclean to the community. She's rejected, she's isolated, she's on her own. Compare that with this ruler who's got position, status, respect. But there's one thing that's common to both of them, and that is they have a problem. They both have a problem, and neither of them can sort out their problem. Only Jesus can help them. Amen. Only Jesus can help them. So they both are coming to Jesus. Let's come back again to this ruler. He's this person of status. Now think of somebody who has status. I don't have status, so. But maybe there's somebody else who has more status here than I have. Think of maybe somebody who has more status in society. Maybe the mayor of the city of Toronto, maybe the prime minister, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter, he's a prime minister. He's got status. We're gonna have a new premier, right? I better stay out of politics. But you think about this. You think about somebody with status coming to bow down to somebody else who is despised somewhat by religion. Here's this man willing to what? Willing to forgo his status because he's desperate. He's desperate for the Lord to do something. So he says what? My daughter just died. Come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. I love this statement. Come, my daughter has just died. Lay your hand on her, and she will live. What is that? That is faith. That's faith. And before we go to the meat of the sandwich, let me just finish this first part of the sandwich, top and bottom. This man knows that Jesus can make the difference. So he's so bold to come in this way. Even he has a realization, you can raise her from the dead. Now, there's not that many cases in the New Testament of Jesus raising people from the dead. Probably three. Lazarus, the widow of Nain's son, and this case. So when Jesus comes to the house, of course, he makes this statement, oh, she's just sleeping. Don't get yourself into such a tizzy. Because, you know, all the kind of people are gathered around the house according to their custom. You got a flute player playing. You got women who have been hired to weep and to wail. There's a big commotion going on. And Jesus said, oh, she's just sleeping. Just be quiet. And what do? They laugh at her. They laugh at Jesus. Have you ever been laughed at because you're a follower of Jesus? You think about this. The ruler of the synagogue, they laughed at Jesus, but they probably laughed at him as well. Doesn't say that, but if they're laughing at Jesus, how does the ruler feel? I brought Jesus here and they're laughing at him. I know he can raise my daughter from the dead, but they're laughing at him. And then Jesus goes in, touches this dead girl and raises her up. By the way, Jesus is not afraid of being unclean. You know, touching the dead in Jewish tradition also means you're unclean. You touch a dead body, you're unclean for 7 days. Jesus is not afraid of that kind of thing. Okay, let's now come to the meat in the sandwich. We've got this, established this ruler, he's got faith. What about this woman? So we have this woman, and Matthew tells us, in verse 21, she has said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. If only I touch his garment, I will be made well. Let me ask you, is that faith? Yes, it's faith. My question is, what kind of faith? What kind of faith? I'm going to be bold this morning and make a statement. That is superstitious faith. Her thought is, Jesus' garment has power. Is she coming to Jesus, or is she relying on something removed from Jesus? Most of us probably never thought that about this in this way. This is actually some kind of a superstitious faith. And unfortunately, sometimes we can be superstitious. Instead of trusting Jesus himself, we may look to other things. Close, but not quite. Some of you may or may not be familiar with this musical, The Prince of Egypt. And in The Prince of Egypt musical, there's this famous song made famous by Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. There can be miracles when you believe. There can be miracles when you believe. Believe in what? Who's making miracles? So, what's interesting about this, Jesus actually corrects this woman's faith. He says in verse 22, Jesus turned after she touched his garment. Jesus turned and said to her, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And listen carefully. And instantly the woman was made well. In Matthew, Matthew is saying, it's not the touching of the garment that made her well. It's Jesus' word to her that made her well. What is Matthew doing? Matthew is correcting this woman's faith, helping us realize, no, faith is in the person, Jesus, not faith in a thing, not faith in an activity. Is our faith, do we trust the Lord himself or things that are kind of maybe close to the Lord, but there's lots of activities that we can do, so-called spiritual activities, that could be, I'm not saying they are, but that could be, or we hold them, somewhat superstitious. Now, some things are more obvious than others. Some people like to have religious icons in their house. Maybe a crucifix, a cross, or something like that, or some other kind of a picture of Jesus to kind of keep, to ward off whatever. I don't know what they're warding off. And you say, well, I'm not like that. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you do things, or do you trust in things that are not quite Jesus, but the thing you do? Okay, let me use a few illustrations. Number one, why do you read your Bible? I hope you do. Why? Do you read it so that you feel, well, okay, I read my Bible, I can tick off, good for me. Now I'm accepted. I'm justified. Or do you read your Bible because you want to come closer to Christ? You want to know him. You want your relationship with him to grow. Why do you come here Sunday morning? Do you come here thinking, well, if I come to church every Sunday, then I'm a good Christian? So what? Or do you come here because you realize, I need the Lord. I need community. I want to worship the God who has saved me. I love Him. You don't just come because you want to feel good about yourself. You see how things can become, without us knowing it, we could become superstitious. Or do you feel like, if only we do this, if we conduct our service this way, that will make a difference. Where is Jesus? If Jesus is not in it, you can do what you want. So what? Christ must be the center and focus. So this whole thing, Jesus is adjusting her. We have this quote from Tim Keller. Jesus is saying to her, your faith is what healed you. Your faith is what healed you. And now that you know that, you are in a life-transforming relationship with me. There's all the difference in the world between being a superstitious person who gets a bodily healing and a life-transformed follower of Jesus for all of eternity. It's not just a matter of having a miracle. No, it's being brought into a relationship with a person. And what's striking about this section, we read this morning, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Actually, that can also be translated, your faith has saved you. The Greek word there can be saved or made well. When Jesus healed that woman, it wasn't just a physical healing. It was a spiritual salvation as well. Physically, spiritually. Why? Because not only is she physically healed, but spiritually, she's been restored to Christ and to the community of Christ. Now that she's healed, she can be restored to the community of believers. No longer isolated. So, let's conclude both of these situations. These two people. One has an honorable standing. The other, you'd say, is marginal. But both are saved. Both the girl from this honorable household and this woman who's poor, who's outside of community, both are saved. Jesus makes no distinction between these two. He doesn't make any distinction between the one with status and the one without status. What does this show? This shows us the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone without any distinction. And it's a matter of faith. It's not a matter of what you do. And you may say, well, I don't have that much faith. It's not the amount of faith. It's what you have faith in, the object of your faith. You think about this. Say you fell off a cliff. You're falling down the cliff, and you reach out and you grab a branch that's sticking out from the cliff, and you're hanging onto that branch. You have faith that branch will hold you. How strong does your faith need to be? It's actually dependent on the branch. It's really not dependent on your faith. Right. If you have faith, strong faith in a branch that's that big around, maybe your faith is misplaced. If you have weak faith in a branch that's this big and you're hanging on, I don't know if the branch is going to hold me. I don't know if it's going to hold me, but I'm going to hang on. What saves you? It's the branch that saves you. Faith in the branch, whether it's strong, whether it's weak, but it's actually the object of your faith that matters. You may think this morning, maybe you have never took the step and said, Lord, I believe in you. He said, I don't have enough faith. Well, how much is enough? How much faith is enough to be saved? You don't need that much faith. You just need the faith, I'm going to hang on. That's it. Hang on to Jesus. Because I know Jesus is the one. But even if you're not that confident, Jesus still is the one that will save you. Amen. You don't need buckets of faith. A little faith goes a long way because Jesus is the one who saves. Amen. Jesus is the one who saves. Amen. We're going to transition now to the Lord's table. I want you to consider this matter. As we partake of the bread and the cup, this is a reminder to us, for us to remember that Jesus is the one who saved us. Not something we have done, not some good behavior on our part. He died. He paid the price for your sin, which you cannot pay. Only he can pay, because only he can save you. He's our Savior. So this morning, as we partake of the bread, as we partake of the cup, let's just give a real thank you, Lord, for doing this for me. My faith may be weak, but you're a strong branch holding on to you. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, we worship you, and we thank you that you died on our behalf. Yes. We're not worthy, neither are we able to save ourselves. We thank you that while we were sinners, you died for us.